text the keyword money to 200-200.
You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info.
Standard data and message rates apply.
That's money to 200-200.
710 WOR.
This is
Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Not a bad day this morning, but there are going to be some scattered thunderstorms a little later in the afternoon and maybe a thunderstorm tonight, but not a bad morning.
I disagree. It's a great day. They're home.
Yes,
the hostages from North Korea.
Yes, yes.
Outstanding.
A diplomatic victory for President Trump. Three people kept in North Korea for a long time arrived in the middle of the night on the tarmac. The president and Melania were there to greet them. Secretary Pompeo as well. It's a great day. It reminded me of the time. Remember when the Iranian hostages were released?
Well, that was right after Reagan was inaugurated.
And remember the guy who came down the stairway from the plane and bent down on the ground and kissed the ground?
Favorite line in all that, when the Iranian hostages were released, they were all given lifetime passes to baseball games.
And
some sports writers said, haven't they suffered enough? Which I thought that was a great line.
I seem to remember a quote, like Ted Koppler, of someone saying they are in the air when the plane took off.
Well, you're thinking of Argo. maybe you saw it in Argo.
But welcome home to the American citizens
detained in
Korea. This is all a prelude to the upcoming summit between the president, Donald Trump, and North Korean head dictator, butcher, Kim Jong-un. I guess we can't be mean to him anymore. We have to be diplomatic when we talk to Kim Jong-un.
We can't talk about the size of our buttons. Huh?
No. I think we don't have this confirmed, but the rumors out there, the summit will take place in Singapore.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Singapore in June. So I don't know, Len. I think I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but Nobel Peace Prize could be making its way to Trump's shelf in the Oval Office.
By the way, I agree with Trump. I mean, I think he was being falsely modest, but he said, listen, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about world peace. And that's really the truth. Hey, if he does it, hey, give him the prize. But that's all secondary. We just need to know what's going to happen here. Is this just all a setup by Kim Jong-un? Is he serious? Is he going to denuclearize? I mean, this is huge.
We have been duped.
And hopefully this is the first step.
We have been duped before by North Korean leaders.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm no foreign policy expert. I'm no Henry Kissinger here. But there's something about this that feels different to me. I think Kim Jong-un wants assurances that he's not going to be taken out. And if he gets that from us, from the West, he will denuclearize and there will be stability in the Korean Peninsula.
Maybe he can just say, declare victory. Hey, I came up with a program. It's a great program. Okay, we don't need it anymore. We proved we could do it. If we have to, we'll do it again. So, maybe it does work. And that'd be great. I hope it does. And then we can turn our sights to Iran.
This would certainly be an elaborate scheme if he were planning to go back on his word or dupe us.
Well, it has to be 100% verifiable.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the key to all this. He can make all the promises he wants, but we can't just relax all the sanctions and take our troops off the peninsula unless we have an absolute guarantee that he's denuclearized.
Trump has said that. Trump is not going to go in to make a bad deal. He said if it doesn't work out, he'll walk away from it. He'll walk away from it, and then he'll have his finger on the bigger
button. But this happened, I think, just before 3 o'clock this morning.
This is a special night for these three really great people, and congratulations on being in this country. Thank you.
Congratulations on being alive, unlike Otto Warmbier.
Who
was barely alive when he arrived.
Trump did acknowledge him, too.
Yeah.
Kim Dong-chul, Kim Hak-sung, and Tony Kim. They're all Kims.
Yeah, and apparently one of them spoke with an interpreter. I don't know if any of them speak English or not, but at least the one who spoke at Andrews spoke through an interpreter.
Well, they are back. Welcome home, guys.
Yeah, that's also terrific news.
The shadow war between Israel and Iran has come out into the open.
Oh, that's
shooting back and forth last night. Iran fired 20 rockets at Israel. Into
the
Golan Heights. You and I have both been to the Golan Heights.
Yeah, I've been to the Golan Heights, absolutely.
That's the bird's eye view of Israel up there.
That's right there, yeah.
But when you mess with Israel, man, they come flying right back at you.
You don't screw with them.
They hammered Syria. Syrian air force bases. They say they took out the infrastructure there in Iran's infrastructure there in Syria. The Israel, good. They don't mess around. They no, do they not mess around.
Well, that's what the real. That's what I learned when I went over a couple of years ago and talking to the people of Israel. I was purely a vacation. But the best strength they have is that they scare their opponents. So I think, you know.
The defense minister had a great quote. He said, if you give us rain, you will get a flood.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. By the way, none of those rockets that Iran fired over got anywhere because Israel has that Iron Dome, they call it, where they can take down the missiles headed their way. So they shot them down. Nobody was injured on Israel's side. Right. But Israel really took out a lot of Air Force bases.
We will have a live report from Israel later this morning. That's a big story because as soon as, by the way, when all this is going down with Iran, and all of a sudden there's all the rumblings of war with Israel. So this is what it's all about here.
The question is, did this war heat up because Trump has pulled out of the agreement? I tend to think Iran was meddling in there anywhere. They were gearing up for this
before
the news of the agreement.
But it came right after. The timing was just too close. As soon as we pull out of the agreement, boom, here come the missiles. So, no, I think... In fact, they went to the Pentagon and said they're stirring up trouble.
Well,
so,
Iran is going to learn its lesson because Israel is going to give it a big old bloody nose.
No, don't screw with Israel.
You got it. Also in the big three, Eric Schneiderman emerges. You would think this guy has nothing to smile about, but there he is in the papers today, smiling, looking happy, getting into the back of his...
happy about?
I don't know, but he's, you see that smile? I mean, some people call it a smirk, but he's, I guess it's his smiley face for the press. Yeah. Did not answer any questions from the press, but he has hired a tough top criminal defense attorney named Isabel Kirshner because he's going to be in some legal jeopardy.
He is. And we'll have Alice Stockton Rossini stalking his neighborhood. If anyone will track down Eric Schneiderman, it will be Alice.
I wonder if she can go to some of the bars up there and find out where he liked to hang out, because apparently he was a big drinker.
Apparently he liked to drink.
Yeah.
Well, how about those Mets, huh?
Well, I'm going to leave that one to you, Len, because you know how to put a positive spin on what's going on there with the Mets.
You're going to put a positive spin on their batting out of order?
I'm going to let you put a positive spin on what's going on.
Did you see the front page of the Daily News? It was the front page. Who's on first? What's up? Who's batting first? Whatever. I mean, that was
who's up first?
Who's up first? Whatever. Anyway, the Mets are off today, which I think is there's the positive spin. You want to put something positive? They have the day off.
That means they can't lose a game.
In Philadelphia tomorrow. But I thought, so they wind up losing 2-1 and 10. And I thought this Josh Lewin call was just classic of the winning Cincinnati home run.
The pitch, driven deep, left field. If it goes, it's over. It goes, it's over.
what more can you say? Now, how do you get him out of order? I mean, it's just a mistake.
Well, we'll discuss in our Mets segment. How's that? We shall discuss around 6:40 in about half an hour.
7:30, I'm going to be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees.
Oh, cool.
June 8th, the Yankees, cool. they're doing very well.
I would say winning 17 out of 18 games is doing very well. Yes.
Yeah, powerhouse. So anyway,
they're doing great now. They're in first place.
We still have hope for the Mets. So.
You do, huh? Oh, that's good.
Well, of course I do. I'm optimistic, Len. I'm an optimistic person by nature.
You are?
Yes.
You'd be sitting there hoping all those Broadway shows close. What kind of optimism do you have?
Well, I do get good mileage out of a Broadway show that flops. Speaking of which, I do.
Are you writing your column for tomorrow? Michael Riedel still writes weekly in the Post on Broadway. What are you writing about tomorrow?
I am interviewing the wonderful writer and actor Stephen Fry. He wrote a great musical called Me and My Girl, one of my favorite musical comedies, and it's going to be done this weekend at Encore City Center, and I'm hearing from friends of mine who saw it last night that it is absolutely delightful. Only 4 or 5 performances this weekend, but it's really good.
Is that limited? I mean, that's it?
Yeah. Encore, it's a great...
What is that? Is that a Broadway venue? What is
Encore? No, it's City Center, and they do musicals that may have been forgotten, but that is where Chicago originated at Encore.
Really?
23 years later and billions of dollars later, it came out. It was a concert, and look how successful that was.
By the way, thanks for the book. It was very nice of you to give me a copy.
Oh, I forgot.
Were you here last week? No, maybe you were. Yeah, you were here last week. And remember we said we're going to swap books? I would give him a copy of my book, and he'd give me a copy of his.
But he said his was more valuable than yours.
He stiffed me. Totally stiffed me. I feel like I've been duped. I feel like Kim Jong-un has pulled a fast one on me. Kim Jong-Riedel has not given me a copy. I gave him a copy of my book, signed lovingly.
Yes. My favorite.
I called you my favorite co-host for now.
That's right.
For the time being.
I read your book. It took about 10 minutes. It's a, you know, it's not a pop-up book.
No, it's not a pop-up book.
No, it's very
cool. Pop-up books are fun. Yeah,
what was your favorite chapter? What was your favorite chapter you read the book?
There was a chapter on...
You have no idea.
On, he didn't read
on a game that I forgot
about.
Oh,
he looked at the pictures.
It's called The Greatest Moment. We did have great pictures. We also had a CD you could listen to in the back of some of the play-by-play.
Oh, I listened to it. I listened.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
It hasn't left my turntable.
Greatest Moments in Sports.
You will get my book tomorrow, I promise. I have a box of books. Razzle Dazzle, The Battle for Broadway, considered a classic of theater books. You will get it tomorrow with my inscription.
Okay, Mr. Sports fan.
I promise.
I wrote about 25. You can play along too, Jar and Natalie. I wrote about 25 of the greatest moments in sports. Now, obviously, it was based on American sports, so obviously it's not Brazil winning a World Cup or something. I didn't rank them, but I did choose the number one greatest moment in the history of American sports. Would any of you care to guess?
I would say
69 or 86 Mets.
No, I would say the Red Sox beating the Yankees.
I would say the American hockey team defeating the Russians.
Bingo. Listen to this.
I got it.
Listen to this guy. You got to listen to Rio.
I can't believe it.
The Miracle on Ice. Of course.
Wait a minute.
Of course it was the Miracle on Ice.
I got it. No, I didn't even read the book.
You read the book.
I read the inscription. I looked at some of the pictures. But did I really get it?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, that's great.
That's clearly the greatest moment in the history of America.
I missed my calling as a sportscaster.
You know, obviously the Mets winning would be a great moment for New York or the Red Sox for Boston, but this was a great... I mean, people were running along the freeway in Los Angeles waving American flags that night.
1980, right?
In, 1980, yeah.
Where was it? Lake Placid. I remember as a kid staying up late. My parents let me stay up late to watch it. It was thrilling.
Well, they played the replay. You probably knew who was going to win. It was unless they shielded you because it was taped delay. It was not played live. It was live in the
afternoon. I just remember watching it with my father.
I was on an airplane. I was coming back from spring training, and when they announced, the pilot announced that the U.S. had won, the airplane went nuts.
And remember, this was before Ronald Reagan was elected, when this country was in the doghouse under Jimmy Carter. That's why we were so excited.
Is that why?
Yes,
it was. It had to do well. By the way, because of the hostages and gas prices and all that was going on in America,
stagflation,
this
everything.
This is a great uplifting story. So there you go. You got it, Riedel.
I got it. All right. Welcome home. President Trump greeted three Americans released by North Korea. We'll talk to ABC's Andy Field, who's at the White House, when we get back. Plus your next chance at $1,000, which you can apply to your upcoming summer vacation. That's all coming up 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's go to Bernie Vider with traffic.
Morning, everyone. It's 6:24. Well, if you're just waking up, the news is all good. The three hostages from North Korea are home. The president and his wife meeting them at Andrews. And joining us now from ABC News correspondent Andy Field, who was at Andrews Air Force Base when this all went down. Hey, Andy, you like pulling all-nighters?
Yeah, you know, if you're going to stay up all night, to watch a piece of history like this is probably worth it. It finally happened at 3 a.m. Joint Base Andrews, where the president's Air Force One takes off and lands every time he travels somewhere. It was really extraordinary. The president and vice president arrived in separate helicopters, and they sat and waited a few minutes. And then Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State's plane, landed first. And then the medical plane carrying the three detainees landed right after.
Oh, they were on two different planes. I didn't realize that.
They were on two different planes. I think one was specially equipped with medical facilities to check them out as they flew back. It was quite a long flight. It was more than a 20-hour flight from North Korea. And when they arrived, the president, first lady, Mike Pence, and his wife walked up to the plane. President Trump and Melania walked up the stairs, went in for a private meeting in the smaller plane to meet the detainees. A few minutes later, they came out, the president smiling about as big as I've ever seen him smile, as well as the detainees, who put their fingers up in the air in a big sign of victory, and they came down and the president talked to the press.
Have the detainees said anything publicly yet, Andy?
One of them did. The gentleman who was held the longest for, like, I think, almost 900 days. He was in prison quite a while ago. This was during President Obama's administration. The other two were captured after President Trump took office. The one who was there the longest, through a translator, said that he worked very hard. He had a lot of labor. The conditions were varied. He was very diplomatic about how he was treated, but he did say that when he got sick, he was treated well. They all seem to at least look from our eyes to be in good health, but Doctors will decide that at Walter Reed Hospital in Bethesda, where they are now being evaluated and debriefed, and then they will meet their families.
We're on with Andy Field, ABC News correspondent in Washington. He was at Andrews today for the arrival. Andy, do you get the feeling that maybe the three of them were briefed and said, let's not talk about how bad the conditions were so as not to jeopardize any future negotiations?
I don't know. It was very hard to hear them. We weren't that far away from them, but the jet noise kind of overwhelmed whatever they had to say. President Trump, of course, has a loud, booming voice, so it was easy to hear him. I don't know the answer to that question.
He can speak over the sound of the engines on Air Force One.
He said, yeah, he was much louder than the engines, I can tell you that. He was much happier, I think.
Hey, by the way, Andy.
Yes,
Andy. We hear there was a little chill between Melania and Trump. How did she look? Was she holding hands with her husband this time around?
I think they did when they walked off the helicopter and when they left the White House. She was smiling. She seemed very happy. She didn't say anything. The president did all the talking here, and he seemed very encouraged about prospects of some sort of deal with Kim Jong-un. Yeah. This is a president who's gone from calling Kim little rocket man and threatening fire and fury against that nation to someone who seems to have a pretty good relationship with Kim. We asked him several times if he had talked to him, to the North Korean leader. He didn't answer that question, but we'll find out soon enough when the president announces the meeting, which we think may be in Singapore. They haven't officially said that yet, yeah. and we think it may be at the beginning of June.
All right, Andy Field, ABC News, who was on hand for the big arrival. Get some sleep.
Thanks, Len and Michael.
Take care, Andy.
By the way, you were talking about Melania.
Yeah.
They were all smoochy for two straight White House events 2 days ago, and then yesterday there was another White House event, and they were again smoochy. So obviously, maybe that question that was asked of Sarah Sanders struck a nerve, asking if Melania lives at the White House or not, and Sarah Sanders thought that was an absurd question to ask. Of course, she lives at the White House, but noticeably more touchy-feely the last couple of days.
No truth to the rumor that Melania moved across the street to Blair House.
By the way, don't you think that they were briefed, say, hey, let's not trash the regime?
Probably.
They were probably told, because they, through the interpreter, he said, well, we had many different kinds of conditions.
Many different kinds of, At least they weren't thrown in a cage with the wild dogs.
Yeah.
My proudest achievement will be, this is a part of it, but will be when we denuclearize that entire peninsula. This is what people have been waiting for a long time. Nobody thought we could be on this track in terms of speed. So I'm very honored to have helped the three folks.
Yeah, so I think the question might have been about the Nobel Prize or something. But you know what? He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
It's all good so far.
Yep.
All right, 6:30, time for the latest news headlines. A big good morning to you, Joe Bartlett.
Hello, Len. Police searching for a missing baby at a recycling facility in Queens. A woman admitted throwing her newborn baby in the trash. 23-year-old dumped the baby in Richmond Hill. The trash was then taken to a waste facility in East New York. Woman turned up at a hospital complaining of stomach pain. Then doctors realized she had given birth. She's being questioned at the moment, but so far no charges have been filed in this case. Jury deliberations could begin today in the corruption retrial of former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. The defense rested yesterday without Silver taking the stand. He's accused of using his political influence to get $4 million in illegal kickbacks. He was convicted at a previous trial, but that conviction thrown out because of a Supreme Court decision that narrowed the definition of public corruption.
Joe, isn't it a shocker how fast this trial went? I mean, boom, this was...
We really weren't paying attention to it because of all of the other pressing issues.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, he tends to suck the air out of everything. So, I mean, it's all about Trump and stuff out of Washington.
But the defense didn't put on a case, right?
Not really.
They just rested.
Yeah. This has all been said, they figure, I don't know what they're thinking. I don't know what they're thinking. Probably hoping that the jury is going to be swayed by the instructions on public corruption, because the evidence clearly shows he did it.
Yeah. Yep.
The question is it a crime based on that Supreme Court ruling? Right. People brought to the U.S. illegally as children can now get financial aid for college in New Jersey. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy signed the bill, making the Dreamers eligible for that funding starting this fall.
Our Dreamers grew up here. They were educated in our schools. They want to be part of the future economic success of the only home many of them have ever known.
Joe, you know, I'm reading into this, but you're a New Jersey resident. I got the feeling from your voice that you're not thrilled with this.
Wait a minute. How could you judge from my voice?
I'm guessing that you're saying, why should they get education? Why should my dollars pay for
that? Is everything free in New Jersey?
Almost. Critics say the money. The critics, Len.
Like who?
Well, just those critics. You know who they are.
Now, those people say. That's my favorite line. They say
the money should be going to students who are in the country legally.
There you go. Legally. I knew you'd get there.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Our news brought to you by Paul Miller BMW in Wayne, New Jersey. Shop online at paulmillerbmw.com. Speaking of students, a South Carolina high school is threatening to fine parents $1,000 if they cheer during the upcoming graduation ceremony.
Stop.
Well, you know, it is kind of weird. Some kids get a lot of cheers.
When your kid is up there, you cheer. It's natural.
But everybody doesn't get the same amount of cheers.
Oh, you have to pat all the snowflakes the same amount of times.
Oh, my God.
This is the Greenville High School in South Carolina. They say they want a dignified and solemn occasion.
Stop.
No one should
graduations
call out.
Are solemn?
Yes.
It's not a funeral,
they're
for God's
joyous.
Sake.
I actually like graduations.
This is all about that one kid gets more cheering than another.
Right. Oh, no.
That's because he's got a bigger family than everybody else.
Who cares?
How about that story the other day where everybody made the cheerleading squad in New Jersey? You know, if one person didn't make it, she was upset, so they said, okay, everyone makes it. That's just ridiculous.
Well, the police will issue a ticket of $1,000 if you cheer.
The police are going to fine you $1,000 if you cheer at a graduation? Yeah, what kind of a country are we living
in?
That's
the last straw.
Just unbelievable. Have some canned cheering in the background so everybody has equal cheering.
Yeah, great.
That is ridiculous.
All right, thank you, Joe. That is ridiculous. Hey, when we come back.
You're out of order.
He's talking about the Mets yesterday in Cincinnati, batting out of order. Plus, you want to win $1,000? You got your next shot. It's 7:05 right here on 710 WOR. How's the traffic doing? Here's Bernie Vibe.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Not so happy for the Mets yesterday. They lost to Cincinnati 2-1. And they got in trouble in the first inning because they batted out of order. Now, you know, I don't know a lot about sports. What's the big deal about batting out of order? I don't get it.
Well, you mean you can just send up whoever you want, whenever you want?
Well, why can't you just switch it around? Let's put this guy here. Why is the big rule here about it?
Well, first of all, you give an official lineup card to the umpire, and that's the lineup you have to abide by. Let's say you get to the seventh or eighth inning, you want to bring in a relief pitcher. And you're bringing in a relief pitcher to face a certain batter based on whether he's batting right or left, and all of a sudden, we put up a different guy by mistake. That's not good.
Yeah, but that could be good because you would, fool him.
Make it more interesting.
You could fool him if you say, you thought this guy was going to go up, or we're going to put this other guy up.
Well, you were asking about Al Pacino here.
You're out of order!
That's crazy. It's from the movie Injustice for All.
So the Mets were out of order. What happened was, they told the media that Wilmer Flores would bat second and Struble Cabrera third.
Right.
They told the media that, but when they brought out the lineup card to the ump, it was the other way around.
Oops.
So when Flores made out, the opposition dugout didn't say anything. They said, well, that's no big deal. But when Struble Cabrera doubled, they went, aha.
We got ya.
And that's where Howie Rose picked up the confusion.
Jim Riggleman, by the way, is out at home plate talking to Gabe Morales. And he's got the lineup card in his hand, and I'm not sure if he thinks maybe he had a different lineup card than what the Mets had, because Jay Bruce is just getting a look at it as well. And I wonder if there's some thought that maybe the Mets batted out of turn, and that's going to be the call.
Wow.
The Mets have apparently batted out of turn. Now, they batted according to the lineup that we were given, but it may well be that there was a mistake made on the lineup card given to home plate ump Gabe Morales. So Morales has signaled for the third out, and the Mets are going to have to take the field defensively. The side is retired.
So obviously, it was a big goof, but the funny part is, you know who the guy who was called out? This is the guy who was coming up next, Jay Bruce. He's just standing there in the on-deck circle, minding his own business.
Out.
He never got to the plate. Out. So I'm just picturing. Can you imagine if he bats .299 on the season?
Out.
So
is it Mickey Callaway's fault?
Well, that's the thing.
Whose fault is it?
Well, here's what Mickey Callaway took responsibility. He said, yep, my fault.
Yeah, you know what? It was just an administrative thing that, I didn't take care of. You know, I got to double check, triple check, and quadruple check, you know, what's put on there and what's put on the board.
Well, the truth of the matter is, it probably wasn't his fault.
Whose fault do you think
it
was?
Well, a bench coach probably made out two different lineups, posted one in the dugout, gave it to the media. You know, they have a chalkboard in the clubhouse, and they put out a lineup. The players themselves walk in, and they realize if they're playing or not. They look at the chalkboard, and they give that, and the media writes down that lineup, and so the media had that lineup, but the gave a different one to the umpire. It's really not Mickey's fault, but he took the blame. He covered for him.
It's frustrating. You know, it could have, it probably cost us the game. We had a chance to score in the first, and we didn't.
Well, yeah, and when you think about it, it was just, they only got one run in the game, and they lost 2-1.
Buck stops with Mickey,
and that covered up the fact that Zach Wheeler, the pitcher for the Mets, actually pitched well, Michael.
He, you know, went out there and attacked with his good stuff right from the get-go. So, you know, I think that's what you have to do. You have to make adjustments when things are going bad, and he did a good job with that.
So, ouch, they lose 2 out of 3 to the worst team in baseball. Now they have the day off, and they begin a series in Philadelphia tomorrow night. But on the bright side, you're giving away Yankees-Mets tickets at 7:30.
That'll be a fun game, 7:30.
That'll be great. Yep. And then at 8:30, we'll have the Turning Point contest. Bye. Now, one other sports item of note. It turns out that our buddy John McEnroe, who we had on the show, at one point, guess who offered him $1 million to play Serena Williams?
Sounds like something Trump would do.
Bingo.
So he wrote me a letter, said, you know, dear John, you know, I want to offer you $1 million again to play either Serena or Venus. And so over the course of time, literally, you know, my kids, you know, my daughters have, Dad, I don't know if you can beat Serena. I'm like, gosh, I didn't even get my kids on my side.
No, this has been an age-old argument, and that's, of course, what led to the Battle of the Sexes
with
Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. And before that, Bobby Riggs played Margaret Court and then beat Margaret Court. So that's why Billie Jean said, let me at him. This has been an age-old argument. You've heard various, I don't know if it's Vitas Gerulaitis, various pros have said the 100th best man could beat the number one woman, or the best college player could beat the number one woman. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it's true when it comes to Serena Williams. I mean, she's an amazing player. And I'm not sure that McEnroe could take her out at this stage
Maybe
of his
not.
Life.
How come we don't have more battles of the sexes? That was fun.
What's that?
How come we don't have more battle of the sexes? That was fun.
Well, because I don't know if they want to do it. I mean, you know, first of all, you got to get an old guy like Bobby Riggs. And then, of course, Billie Jean took care of him back in 1973. We have that whole interview with John McEnroe. What's that from? Was that from Barstool?
Actually, it was an interview on In-Depth with Graham Bensinger.
Okay, so it was an in-depth interview, and it's up on our website at 710WR.com/LennonMichael. It's always interesting when McEnroe's around. But he turned down Donald Trump's offer. You know,
$1 million.
If you didn't know, Trump's quite the showman. He didn't know that.
I wonder where they would have played.
Let's see.
He would have picked Mar-a-Lago.
He would have picked a big venue. You know, I remember the other one was at the Astrodome, which to this day is the biggest audience and biggest TV viewership of any tennis match of any kind.
Hey, he's a showman, and that would have a pretty good show, Venus and John McEnroe. Come on.
But in case you're interested, you probably didn't know because you didn't read it, but it was in my book, Greatest Moments in Sports, the Riggs King match. It was.
But it wasn't number one. Hey, when we get back, we're going to hear from the pilot of that southwestern plane that blew an engine. And, hey, do you want to join the Mile High Club, Len?
I don't know. That doesn't sound that exciting.
The Mile High Club.
I guess if you have a lot of drinks, it does.
Yeah, and you got to pay for it, too.
Oh.
All that's coming up. Plus your next chance at $1,000. That'll pay for the Mile High Club. That's coming up at 7:05 on 710 WOR. And now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Viter.
Good morning, everyone. I guess it's going to be a pretty good day today. We're expecting some thunderstorms late in the day. And looking over this forecast, we have to improve on this, Michael Riedel. Looks like tomorrow will be good, but we gotta make it better for Sunday for the moms.
For Mother's Day.
Talking about some showers in the area, so we got to get rid of that.
Hey, Natalie, what are the kids planning for you for Mother's Day?
Yeah, what are they planning?
I have no plans.
No, but I mean, but the kids should have plans to celebrate you because you're a great mom.
Don't they all take you out to dinner or make you dinner or something?
Be on a soccer field.
Well, that sounds like fun. What other fun stuff do you have?
I'm going to probably have to clean my house.
Oh, it's Soccer Mom's Day.
They're supposed to do all the work for you on Mother's Day. They're supposed to bring you breakfast in bed.
Well, we'll see.
They do all the chores around the house.
My kids aren't, they can't drive yet. So, let's see what my husband gets together.
Let's get your kids on the phone.
I'm joking. They always do something nice.
Natalie's kids, if you're listening, you got to come up with something nice for your mom.
Yeah.
What are you doing
Natalie
with your
deserves
wife?
Deserves it.
Your family's right here in New York.
So we do a big thing at our house, and it's great.
Oh, very nice.
And we bring in people to help. I don't do it. My wife doesn't do it. So.
Yeah, no, I'll tell
you. Bring some help.
You don't put on the apron and make a pot roast in the kitchen on Sunday?
Most I ever do during the course of the year is carve the Thanksgiving turkey. That's the only time I ever put on the apron. That's my job once a year, carve the turkey. Hey, that Southwest tragedy last month where Jennifer Reardon, the woman from Albuquerque, was almost sucked out of the plane. Remember, a piece of the engine broke the window. This was a flight from New York, LaGuardia, to Dallas.
She did die, Jennifer Reardon.
Well, now the crew is speaking out and giving some interviews. Remember what a hero Captain Tammy Jo Schultz was, and First Officer Darren Ellison. Interesting. The story came out. They were doing an interview for 2020, and listen to how they had to communicate once the window was broken.
Darren was just very easy to communicate with, and we had to use hand signals because it was loud, and there was it was just hard to communicate for a lot of different reasons.
They couldn't communicate. They had to use. I wonder what kind. Is that something you practice? Hand signals or?
That's a good question. I don't know.
What is that? What would the hand signals consist of? Interesting stuff. I wonder if that's something you work on.
Probably, because I would think they would have to drill for that if you can't communicate verbally. If a plane's in trouble, you have to know what the pilot wants, the stewardess, and whatnot to do, or the airline attendant, I should say. So, hey, I wonder what hand signals you would...
Well, I just want to play a little bit more of the interview. Okay. I want to get to your Mile High story in a second, but we have some more sound from the crew, and I thought it might be interesting to hear what they had to say.
It was rather radical, and it yawed, and then it began its own descent. And Darren handled it beautifully in not trying to force the aircraft to stay on altitude.
All right, he's talking about First Officer Darren Ellison.
We're passing through about 32,000 feet when we had a large bang and a rapid decompression.
Crazy, huh? Can you imagine being part of this?
Ooh, terrifying.
One more bite from Tammy Jo Schultz.
My first thoughts were actually, oh, here we go, just because it seemed like a flashback to some of the Navy flying that we had done. But really, Darren was just very easy to communicate with, and we had to use hand signals because it was loud, and there was it was just hard to communicate for a lot of different reasons.
Some flashback to being a naval pilot. So what a great job they did. Obviously, the tragedy of Jennifer Reardon dying. But
could have been a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse. Yeah. Okay, so...
I wonder what the hand signal is for.
A lot of hand signals.
Let's have sex on the plane. A stewardess from British Airlines.
Are we allowed to say stewardess?
It says here, well, in this, Fox News says stewardess. So
okay, fine.
So.
Well, then it's good.
An airline attendant, she claims that first class passengers pay flight attendants for sex. This air hostess from a British airline, not identified, has lifted the lid on the Mile High bonks,
oh, wait a second.
Romps.
It's the passengers who pay for the sex.
The passengers who pay,
You said the attendants pay for the sex.
No. The passengers pay, but the attendants solicit it. So there are flight attendants who are doubling as mile-high hookers.
I do not believe this.
No,
I
this
really
is what
don't.
She says. She says that some stewardesses, some airline attendants, get it right, they have a nice little sideline business going, letting the first class passengers know that they are available for hookups for pay. Not necessarily on the plane, but at hotel rooms where the gentlemen are staying. You don't believe this?
Okay,
Natalie?
Maybe one woman maybe did this once, or maybe one woman. Do not believe this is like
she lists a number
a common
of them.
Thing.
One of the stewardesses was a dominatrix, apparently.
This is a British airline.
Yes,
they talk about mile. Is this a phrase? A mile high?
The Mile High Club. You know,
no way. Mile High Bonks.
Mile High Bonks.
B-O-N-K-S. Is Bonks a word I should know here?
That's a British.
You don't know what Bonk means?
Well, I can assume.
Yeah, assume it. Yeah. You got it.
Bonks. They're bonking.
Well, especially these days, our flight attendants have been doing amazing things of getting our passengers out of incredibly difficult situations on planes.
This is just an extra service in first class.
Yeah. A little cash on the side.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know, a little extra service for first class. You pay for what you get. But you know, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. I do hear from a friend of mine who's an airline attendant. They put the best looking ones in first class.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, of course.
Of course.
They do.
What do you mean, of course?
You get what you pay for.
Ah!
Of course. We put the best looking ones as producers of our show. Up next,
all
that cash from Michael Cohn. We'll discuss a chance to win $1,000 after the news at 7.
Now, text the keyword bills to 200-200. You'll get a text confirming entry plus iHeartRadio info. Standard data and message rates apply. That's bills to 200-200.
710 WOR. Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning on The Voice of New York.
710 WOR.
And it is a great day. It's Thursday, May the 10th. It's a great day because those three hostages have been released from North Korea. They had landed on American soil at Joint Base Andrews around 3 this morning, and they are home. They appear to be in good shape, unlike poor Otto Warmbier.
Who did not make it.
Yeah, so yeah. They look to be good, and obviously the big question here is, does this lead to the denuclearization on the peninsula?
We very much appreciate that he allowed them to go before the meeting. It was sort of understood that we'd be able to get these three terrific people during the meeting and bring them home after the meeting. And he was nice in letting them go before the meeting. I mean, frankly, we didn't think this was going to happen, and it did.
So he's saying Kim Jong-un was nice. The meeting will take place next month, we believe, in Singapore.
Yep, first part of June.
And I guess Rudy Giuliani let the cat out of the bag by mistake the other day by saying, the three guys are being released. Come on, Rudy.
I know. He spoiled the surprise.
That. Yeah.
Trump and Melania Trump were there to greet the three detainees, as well as Vice President Pence was there. Pompeo flew in a different plane. That's a lot of fuel.
Yeah, well, apparently.
He had his own plane, and then they
had a medical plane.
Three guys were on the medical plane.
He didn't know that. Well, he didn't. Obviously, he didn't have a medical plane. Well, they must have brought one with them.
Yeah, to pick them up.
On the hope that they were coming.
Yeah.
So normally they say you don't go all that distance unless you know the results. So maybe they knew they were getting released, and that's why they had the medical plane. So they flew home in pretty much in a caravan.
Yeah, it was a
Pompeo's plane, and you had the
20-hour flight. I hope they had a movie.
You are right. Now, they, as far as the hostages, one issued a statement through an interpreter, because I'm not sure any of them speak English, but certainly the one who was held the longest and was taken during the Obama administration, he released a statement. And I thought it was an interesting choice of words. They asked him, were the conditions tough? And he said, well, we had a lot of different conditions, which led me to believe my antenna went up, and they were debriefed on the plane and told, hey, let's not ruffle any feathers with the North. Let's see if this can lead to something good. And that would make sense. You don't want to say, no, we ate dirt for 3 years and that guy's a creep. I mean,
but
you don't want to say that.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I'm sure that they were debriefed, as they say, not to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah,
but I wonder if they were tortured. I wonder if it will come out.
Well, eventually it may.
Because they were held for being spies. That's what they
is
were
that what
accused.
They,
yeah,
sure
they were accused of that.
They always accuse these people of spying.
Spying, right.
Well, that, of course, leads our big three. And there are a lot of threes in the story, because there were three North Korean hostages. They're home. They were greeted by the president, and they arrived about 3.
In the morning?
This morning, so. Other items in the big three. Israel and Iran go bombs away. This is a little bit under the radar here, Michael.
Yep.
This is a big story.
It is.
Because, coincidentally or not, as soon as the U.S. pulled out of the Iran deal, missiles came flying from Syria, believed to be Iranian missiles, towards the Golan Heights.
Yes, 20 missiles were fired at Israel, but Israel has that Iron Dome. Apparently none of those missiles hit their targets. And Israel came blasting back, as they always do, and took out a lot of infrastructure and air bases that the Iranians have been planting in Syria. Now, I think the Iranians have been gunning for a fight with Israel for a long time. That's why they are in Syria, taking advantage of that civil war to build up their forces to make some mischief with Israel. But Israel is having none of it. I mean, I love that defense minister who said, if you send us rain, we send you a flood. I'm telling you, the Israelis do not mess around when their national security is at stake, Lynn.
I'm telling you right now, I'm going to go way out on a limb. Iran does not want to mess with Israel.
No,
just don't poke the
fools.
Bear. Israel will wipe you guys. You know,
absolutely.
Their goal is to wipe Israel off the face of the map. Trust me. Israel will do the wiping if this
And as everybody knows in the Middle East, Iran doesn't have the bomb yet. But Israel's got quite a few of them.
They won't admit it, though.
They won't, but we know they do. We know they do.
Rounding out the big three, Eric Schneiderman surfaced for a few seconds outside his apartment. He actually showed up.
And smiled.
He smiled for the cameras, didn't talk. He did hire a top criminal lawyer. We have Alice Stockton Rossini headed to his neighborhood. And if anyone's going to ferret out some good information, it's going to be Alice.
Now, he left. He was seen leaving his apartment, but we have no reports if he has returned to his apartment. If he's...
Is he going to sleep in a bar all night?
I don't know. He probably has a country house or something like that. Maybe he's going into seclusion somewhere outside of the city. I have no idea.
That's a possibility.
I have no idea.
Now, coming up in about 20 minutes, we've got some Mets tickets for you. Not any Mets tickets. Mets-Yankees Subway Series tickets.
Oh, yeah.
And at 8:30, we have the Turning Point. And yesterday was just a weird game. They lost in Cincinnati 2-1 in 10 innings. They batted out of order. And I thought the call of the game-winning home run for Cincinnati by Josh Lewin was a classic.
The pitch, driven deep, left field. If it goes, it's over. It goes, it's over.
What are you going to say?
What else can you say?
If it goes, it's over. It's over. Oy, yay, yay, the poor Mets.
All right, let's talk about...
Monday, Monday, Monday. Must be funny in the rich man's club. Monday, Monday, Monday. Always Sunday in the rich man's club.
Oh, I can't Monday, wait. Monday. I can't wait to hear what you two have to say. All the money pouring into Michael Coe's office. All totally 100% legit. Oh, this is just a wonderful story.
I am not defending Michael Cohen. There is definitely the sleaze factor to this guy. The question, though, is, does this touch Trump in any way? Cohen appeared to be trading on his relationship, his closeness, his access to the president to act like a lobbyist, even though he wasn't registered. But there is no evidence that Trump had any involvement in this at all. Cohen may just be a sleazebag.
Well, you heard Cohen's quotes. Apparently, the story goes that he told various people like AT&T and the pharmaceutical company
and everyone else,
hey, why are you wasting time? I'm the guy who's closest to the president. And they poured money into his coffers, allegedly, to get close to Trump. But that's the cover story.
The guy, cover story. So far, it has not touched Trump. The problem is, if you do this, you got to be a registered lobbyist, and Cohen never bothered to register as anything.
He'll get fined for not registering as a lobbyist. What a huge crime.
Yeah.
Oh,
that'll bring down the president.
Joe's going to defend him. And $500,000 from the Russians, nothing to see here. Move on.
It was an investment firm. They, too, wanted to get close to the president for, I'm sure, their own particular political reasons. Cohen is out there making some money. I mean, this is the way politics works, Len. Why do you purport to be so shocked at this? You don't think people surrounding the Clintons back in the day cashed in?
And by the way, I mean, Russians do business in America.
Oh, we'll see.
They're not all trying to collude.
Not all Russians are corrupt.
I'm going to quote your favorite president, boys. We'll see.
Well, what do you expect
to see? We shall see. I don't know. We'll see. Why do you think the Southern District of New York was nosing around his office? Because they're all about Stormy Daniels, as you guys claim.
Okay, well,
it was not about Stormy Daniels.
Illegal or unethical lobbying.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe. Well, what Mueller's hoping, I'm sure, is he can get Cohen to flip and give him some stuff on Trump because he's gunning for Trump.
By the way, I'm not sure of that, and I lean towards thinking that there's some truth in what you guys say because Mueller handed it off. If this was really part of the whole Russian deal, Mueller would not have handed it off to the Southern District.
There is no Russia.
Oh, stop.
There is no Russia.
You don't know that.
Well, look, you know what? I was just reading that the indictment that Mueller gave of those 13 Russians that they thought nobody would do anything about, they have hired an attorney, and they are going to go to court. They're going to force Mueller to provide the evidence against them.
Good. Okay. Well, maybe he's got it.
Good.
And we'll all see what's going on.
Good.
So obviously $1.2 million came from Novartis, a pharmaceutical firm, went to Cohen, and several hundred thousand came from AT&T. You'll be shocked to know that some of the late night talk shows talked about this. This was on Seth Meyers' show last night.
According to the New York Times, the shell company President Trump's lawyer, Michael Cohen, used to pay Stormy Daniels, received payments from AT&T. To thank them, Cohen will be using AT&T for his one phone call.
Cute line.
It's cute.
That's cute. And James Corden on whatever his show's called, the Late Late Late
Late Late Late Late Late Late
CBS.
Donald Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, who made a $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels, had received $500,000 from a Russian businessman with ties to Vladimir Putin. This story sounds like a word problem you'd see in a math test. Do you know what I mean? If Michael Cohen received $500,000 from the Russians, but only gave $130,000 to Stormy Daniels, how many years does Michael spend in jail?
That's not bad.
That's cute. It's going to be.
But you know what Rudy says? Rudy says Michael Cohen's issues do not affect Donald Trump. So if Rudy says it, hey, it's got to be true.
By the way, I saw Rudy at the Yankee game last night.
Oh, he's out there? Yeah.
You were there?
No, I was watching.
I was watching him too.
He was right there in the front row. Well, I'm like second.
Oh, he's a big. Yeah, I would see him there all the time. Yankee fan. Yeah.
He was on the phone for a long time, and I kept going, "Wonder who he's talking to." Can we get a close up so we can read,
read some lips?
He wasn't talking to Judy.
I wanted to know who the guy with him was. He looked like a bouncer.
Well, I'm sure it was.
It was probably Russian. Could have been a Russian. Could have been a Russian.
So Rudy up at the end. That's very interesting. Yeah. But this is, let's see.
Look,
the money's
no one,
to come. Go ahead.
No one is arguing that Cohen is, you know, some white glove, fancy Wall Street lawyer type. I mean, he's got a sleazy reputation there. And, you know, Trump has been surrounded by some sleazy guys. But the point is, none of this money has been connected to Trump in any way.
And one other note in this case, the Treasury Department wants to investigate how these bank records got leaked involving Michael Cohen. Somebody leaked this somewhere.
To Avenatti.
Yeah. To Michael Avenatti. He's been on TV in the last 20 minutes?
I haven't seen him, actually. He must be out sick today because usually he's there on CNN around the clock.
All the other networks will be doing the release of the prisoners.
Yes.
And, and CNN will have Avenatti on.
Absolutely. Wall-to-wall Avenatti.
All right. So, of course, the big question of all with the prisoner release, is this going to lead to denuclearization? Is this what it's all about? Will this lead to a successful outcome when Donald Trump meets next month with Kim Jong-un, probably in Singapore? We're going to talk to an expert coming up next, a guy who wrote the book. That's coming up. Oh, another chance at $1,000. We got that for you, too. That's at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. How about some traffic news? Time to check in with Bernie Viter.
New York, 710 WOR.
Good morning, everybody. On this very pleasant Thursday, the Americans have been freed from North Korea. They came into the country 3 a.m. this morning, greeted by Donald and Melania Trump. That is teeing it up for the summit between North Korea and America. Absolutely historic occasion. A diplomatic breakthrough. To find out about that, we've got a really smart guy. I've admired this guy for a long time. Gordon Chang is an ABC News contributor, and he is the author of a very fine book, Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. He is going to explain it all to us. Good morning, Mr. Chang.
Good morning, Michael.
So we've been down this path before with North Korea, where they've promised to scale back their weapons programs, and then, no, they go behind our backs, they continue to build up the weapons. Is there any reason for us to think that they won't do this again?
Yeah, there are a couple of reasons. First of all, the sanctions, U.S. sanctions and U.N. sanctions, are really crippling the flow of money into North Korea. That makes Kim Jong-un nervous, of course. Also, Kim is nervous about the United States striking his missile and nuke facilities, as President Trump threatened last year. You know, of course, the North Koreans never want to give up their most destructive weapons, and of course, they're going to be deceptive and cynical and all the rest of it. But this is really an issue not about the North Korean intention. This is a question about whether President Trump will use the elements of American power to force the North Koreans to do what they don't want to do. And we do have the power, even short of the use of force, to disarm North Korea. So this is a Trump question, not a Kim question.
So, Gordon, you think the fact that Trump went on with his very tough rhetoric, my button's bigger than your button, you think it worked for him?
Yeah, there are indications because your Korea analysts in Asia have been saying that the reason why we've gotten to this place is because China, North Korea, and South Korea changed their policies toward the end of last year. And they did that because they were afraid of war in the region. And they were afraid of war in the region because of course, President Trump's threats. So while it sounded ugly when he was making them, it may have had a very beneficial effect. And especially in connection with the sanctions, I think that that really did have did push the North Koreans where they are now. Now, of course, this is not the end of the story, but at least we see a pathway to peace and an enduring settlement for the entire region.
Tell us a little bit about Kim Jong-un. He seems to me to be enjoying the spotlight. He's smiling. He's acting the diplomat. Do you think he might be enjoying coming back into the world?
No, I think that he's certainly enjoying himself, whether he's going to come back into the world or not. He's not like his father, who was reclusive. He's much more like his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, who founded the regime in 1948. And, you know, Kim Jong-un made himself through plastic surgery to look like his grandfather. But, you know, he does have the same personality, and that makes him dangerous because Kim Il-sung was one of the more dangerous figures of his time.
We're on with Gordon Chang, ABC News contributor and author and an expert on North Korea. Gordon, the $64,000 question is, will they denuclearize and will it be 100% verifiable? What are the odds?
I think the odds are pretty good, but as I mentioned, this is going to be up to the United States to use its power. We haven't used our power to force the North Koreans to disarm, and then that's been misguided policy over the course of several decades, so it's bipartisan failure. The question is whether Trump is a different kind of American president. He looks to be, and the question is whether he will be able to harness American power. I happen to be an optimist. Most people are not, but, you know, as the president says, we'll wait and see.
All right. Gordon Chang, author of Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. We appreciate your insights this morning. Thanks a lot, Mr. Chang.
Well, thank you.
Well, that's very interesting.
Very smart guy, Gordon Chang. I've been following what he's been saying about North Korea for the past year, and he really has some insights into this country and into the leaders.
You don't normally hear someone of his ilk say he's optimistic.
Yeah.
Because most people are pessimistic. Right. I mean, you know, it's...
And he says that Trump getting tough, the rhetoric, is one of the things that nudged Kim Jong-un to the table.
There you go.
So. Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets! Let's go, Mets! It's your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees on June 8th at Citi Field, driven by your Tri-Honda dealers. If you're caller number 23, I want you to be caller number 23 at 1-800-321-0710. That's 1-800-321-0710. If you're number 23, you're the winner. Purchase tickets at Mets.com/tickets. And now let's check in on the 7:30 news with Joe Bartlett.
Okay, Michael. Senator John McCain urging his colleagues to vote against the nomination of Gina Haspel as CIA director. McCain is upset by Haspel's role overseeing the use of torture in the aftermath of 9/11. She was questioned about that by Senator Kamala Harris yesterday.
Do you believe in hindsight that those techniques were immoral?
Senator, what I believe sitting here today is that I support the higher moral standard we have decided to hold ourselves to.
Can you please answer the question?
Senator, I think I've answered the question.
No, you've not.
She kept saying, Senator's being obnoxious.
That's Senator's being obnoxious.
She kept saying, yes or no.
Ridiculous. She answered
playing to her base.
Speaking of Senator John McCain, in his new book, he says he gave that controversial dossier about President Trump to former FBI Director James Comey.
Aha!
Boy, McCain really hates Trump.
Confirms the transaction in his book, The Restless Wave. He agreed to receive a copy of the dossier compiled by British intelligence. He says the allegations were disturbing, but he couldn't verify them, and he did what any American who cares about our nation's security would have done.
There you go.
Did what any American who hates Trump would have done. That's what he did.
Well, so it wasn't the Democrats like you people charged.
Well, it was a Democrat. It was McCain. Police searching a recycling facility in Queens for a newborn baby. A 23-year-old woman admitted she threw her newborn in the garbage.
She threw the baby in the garbage? Why didn't you go to the hospital? It's crazy.
Well, the mother turned up at Jamaica Hospital complaining of stomach pains. Doctors realized she'd given birth. She's now being questioned by police. No charges as yet. Jury deliberations could begin today at the corruption trial of former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver. The defense rested yesterday. Silver did not take the stand, accused of using his political influence to get $4 million in illegal kickbacks. He was convicted in his first trial, but that was overturned because of a Supreme Court ruling that narrowed the definition of public corruption. Our news brought to you by Rex Real Estate, your 2% commission real estate agency. And how about this? NBC Universal releasing details of an internal investigation after the firing of Today Show host Matt Lauer.
I guess they probably gave themselves a clean bill of health.
What a bunch of horse bleep. The company said it found...
baby.
Come on, Len.
Picking on my former employer that?
The company said it found no evidence no evidence that leaders of NBC News were aware of sex abuse allegations made by four women against Lauer. In addition, it says it did not find a broader problem with sexual harassment at NBC News. Tom Brokaw, I guess not.
Come on. This happens all the time when these organizations investigate themselves.
Well, didn't Fox News have an outside investigation?
Yeah, they hired Proskauer, I think, a big law firm.
This was done apparently by two outside law firms.
I thought it was an internal investigation.
It was an internal investigation done with the assistance of two outside law firms.
Headed up by John Chancellor.
No, he's no longer with us.
Len, come on. You can't say that no one knew this.
I didn't know it. I was there.
Oh, well.
You were out of the loop for years there. Everybody knew that.
I'm loopy here on the radio.
Everybody knew that, Len.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, the soapbox is yours when we get back. We want to know what you think about North Korea, Israel cleaning Iran's clock, and should creepy Schneiderman go to the clink? Give us a call, 1-800-321-0710. 1-800-321-0710. Tell us what's on your mind. Plus, your chance at $1,000 is coming up at 8:05 on 710 WOR. Now let's check in on the traffic with Bernie Budd.
And Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Good morning to you, everyone. It's 7:41. Wow, there's lots to discuss, so we're going to open the phones. What's on your mind? Anything you want to talk about? 800-321-0710. Maybe you want to discuss the Nobel Peace Prize, just ship it off to Washington and President Trump. The hostages are home.
Obama won one just because he got elected.
Just because he was Obama.
That's right.
Do you think this is going to lead to peace with Rocket Man? What are your thoughts there? Or maybe you want to comment on this under-the-radar little rocket war between Iran and Israel. Or maybe you want Schneiderman to go to jail.
Yes.
Or maybe you have an idea why all that money is showing up in Michael Cohen's office.
What's that money all about? That's what Len wants to talk about.
Anything you want to discuss, we're here for you, folks. That's our job. 800-321-0710. Now, before we take your calls, let's congratulate a winner.
Larry Adler from Eastport, New York. He won tickets to see the Mets take on the Yankees June 8th. And Larry is on the line with us.
Larry!
Congratulations, Larry.
That's great. By the way, it's East Northport, New York.
East Northport. What did I say?
Yeah, about 40 miles from Len Berman's house.
So what did he say? Northeastport? What did he say?
Eastport. I think Eastport's in Connecticut. But anyway.
East Northport. That's where you have
really wanted me to talk to you because I won last year for a Yankee-Met game as well.
Wait a second. You won Yankees-Mets last year and you won it this year? That's not fair.
We're going to
rescind those tickets, Larry.
The trick is to just keep redialing when you get those busy signals.
Oh, is that the... Oh, don't tell your... Oh, now everyone will know what to do.
Now he knows the secret.
I'm sure everybody does that, but I appreciate it.
Larry, you've been...
I love the show. The combination is great.
Thank you, Larry.
Broadway and sports are great.
That's it. Larry, you're a big, longtime Mets fan, are you?
Oh, yeah. I go back to the Brooklyn Dodgers, but I want to tell you how old I am.
Okay.
So we had a gap there for 5 years in National League Baseball, so we had to go with the Mets.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's why the Mets logo incorporated the Dodgers and the Giants, you know. So
blue and orange, that's it.
There you go. All right, Larry, congratulations.
Okay, appreciate it.
Enjoy
nice
the game.
You guys.
All right,
congrats, Larry.
Thanks.
Congrats.
East Northport.
East Northport.
All right, now it's your turn. 800-321-0710. What's on your mind? If you were a caller, Rita, what would be your number one?
Schneiderman.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look in the papers today, you see the pictures of him smiling as he slinks into his SUV to get out of town. But that guy's got to go to jail, I think.
Well, new NYPD is investigating.
He committed assault. You strangle a woman. You hit a woman. Some of the women he hit had welts on their faces. Other women had to go to doctors and had ringing in the ears. That is illegal. That is a crime when you assault a woman like that.
Okay, so...
And he drove drunk, too.
And you talk about Schneiderman, but also Harvey Weinstein. I don't see any charges. I mean, they keep saying NYPD is investigating.
Well, I mean, when it comes out, it'll come out. Schneiderman was the one who went after Cy Vance for not investigating Weinstein, which is why Governor Cuomo will not let Cy Vance go after Schneiderman.
Yeah, what do you make of that little political dust-up?
I think it's appropriate on Cuomo's part. I mean, how can Vance investigate Schneiderman when he probably has a grudge against Schneiderman for holding his feet to the fire for not going after Weinstein. God, all of these sexual harassers. The real thing is, Len, especially with Weinstein, this stuff should have happened long ago. This stuff was out there. We heard rumors. A lot of people knew things about Harvey, and most people around him looked the other way. And he gave lots of contributions to Democrat politicians.
Now, coming up in the next hour, we have Tina Brown. She's a famous magazine editor. She's written books. She knows all these people.
She edited Vanity Fair. She edited The New Yorker. She edited a magazine called Talk that was funded by Harvey Weinstein.
Oh.
And she was a friend of, it probably is still a friend of Charlie Rose. So she knows these guys.
Wow.
Very, very well. So I want to get her insights into what these guys were like and if she knew anything about that. By the way, she also has a terrific book out called The Vanity Fair Diaries. She kept diaries in the 80s when she was running Vanity Fair and turned that magazine around, made it into the powerhouse it is today. And my girlfriend and I read the diaries. They are gripping. They take you right back to the 80s because really? Tina Brown was at the center of the whole media landscape back in those
days.
Well, 80,
there must be a lot of Trump in there too, no?
A lot of Trump, absolutely.
He owned the media landscape in the 80s.
He certainly did. There were a lot of Trump, I think there were a number of Trump front pages of Vanity Fair because he was the emblem of New York City in the 80s.
He was. So Tina Brown, well known, she'll be joining us at about 8:23.
Yeah, very smart woman.
And look forward to that.
Yeah, very smart. Very smart.
Yeah. So, but you, I'm surprised that you said Schneiderman it would be your number one.
What would be call. Yours?
No. Well, first of all, I think the hostages. I mean, that's the biggest story, that these three hostages are home. And I also was hoping that somebody would tell me where that money was going to Michael Cohen and why, but I guess our listeners have given up on that because...
because there's nothing there, Len, except some sleazy guy who's selling his access, par for the course, business as usual in politics. Not connected to Trump yet.
What'd you say is your last word?
Not connected to Trump.
And $500,000 comes from the Ruskies? Doesn't bother you,
do you
huh?
You really think Trump... can be swayed with $500,000. He's a billionaire, Len.
They always say follow the money. So I don't know.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're following the money.
Yeah, but as I said, Mueller handed this off to the Southern District in New York. So this is not germane to the main Russian collusion, obstruction of justice, or whatever Mueller's investigation is.
Yeah, they'll just go after Cohen, bring him down. They'll probably put some pressure on him because they want him to give up some stuff, some dirt on Trump that they can use to try to bring down the president.
All right, coming up, I'm going to put three names in the same sentence. Tell me what you think. Matt Lauer, Monica Lewinsky, Donald Trump Jr. They're all coming up, not live. They're in our entertainment segment. And we have another chance for you to win $1,000. That's coming up at 8:05 here on 710 WOR. Right now, we've got Bernie Vider with traffic.
And a very happy Thursday to you. Nice day outside, a few showers maybe later in the day, but spring is here, and it's a good day if you're at the office. Go outside for a little bit, get some fresh air, take a walk around the block, stretch the legs. That's what I do every time I want to get away from Len.
Really? I was wondering where you go during the middle of the show.
As soon as I go to a commercial, I'm out the door.
I always say to Natalie, where's Riedel? Get him back here.
Out of there. That's
right. I know what you're doing.
Hey, let's check in with Nikki from Fort Lee on line one. Good morning,
hey,
Nikki.
Nikki, how are you?
Morning, gentlemen. The money issue, it's nonsense.
Nonsense.
One of the oldest tactics in politics. You follow your opponent around and you just ask one question. What did you do with the money? And you don't say anything else. What did you do with the money? And people fill in the blanks and they make up their own story. This is the same thing.
Oh, so you don't think Michael Cohen was up to anything nefarious, huh?
Doesn't matter. If he was, it doesn't mean Trump was.
No, it doesn't.
Exactly.
I'll tell you what.
Doesn't.
If you followed Len around, Mike, and every day you just said, what did you do with the money? He'd be tearing his hair out within a week.
I know what he does with the money. He puts it under his mattress. That's what Len does with the money, Nikki.
I get the red wine to put some ice in. That's what I do with it.
Keeps his money under his mattress.
People will make up the narrative. Right. It's deadly.
Thanks, Nikki. Thanks for listening, pal.
Thanks, Nikki. Hey, this internal probe at NBC, you know, Matt Lauer, he was
nothing
out
to see here.
Of sexual harassment charges, some pretty harrowing stuff on Lauer's part. NBC, ooh, they did a big investigation to see if top brass was aware of the complaints against Matt Lauer, and they concluded, nope, We had no idea, never heard anything about it. All these women who claim that Matt Lauer harassed them never reached to the top of NBC. Don't really know about that since the whole Brokaw thing has come out, too. A number of women have accused Brokaw of inappropriate behavior. And in fact, one of them, Linda Vester, who had been a reporter at NBC, she was just on Good Morning America
with
George Stephanopoulos talking about her issues with Tom Brokaw.
I expected a denial. That is what harassers generally do. What I didn't expect was such a personal attack. And what I'm concerned about is the message that that sends to women inside NBC News about whether or not they are safe to report somebody who is powerful if they get that kind of backlash.
Well, it's interesting she says that because as part of this memo about the Lauer investigation, it said that some women who did say that Matt acted inappropriately claimed that they told their managers, but the investigation said, well, we talked to the managers and they denied it, so there's no way to confirm it or not. So they kind of, and then Ann Curry came up because apparently a story came out that the NBC talked to Ann Curry. Ann Curry said, it never talked to me.
Yeah.
Never talked to me at all. More of Linda Vester with George Stephanopoulos.
I was a young reporter just getting started. Tom Brokaw was the most powerful man at the network. So the idea that I could go forward to management and say that I had been assaulted by the most powerful man at the network and a major moneymaker, well, that just wasn't going to get heard.
Yeah. It's believable, right?
Very believable. And her story, you know, Brokaw came over to the Essex house where she was staying. This was back in the 90s. And sort of she opened the door. He plunged right into the room, went right to the couch, and began a little touchy-feely with her.
Linda, I'm not interested in the lawsuit, but nor will I be silenced. I will speak this truth about what happened to me, no matter how uncomfortable it may be for some people to hear, because I want to try to help others.
Here's the question, Lynn. Do you really believe that the people running NBC didn't hear any of these complaints, didn't hear rumors about anything?
That stretches credulity.
You don't believe that?
No. It does stretch. But I'll tell you, I was there, and I worked with both Lauer and Brokaw, and I know you're going to call me Mr. Naive over here. I'm telling you, I didn't see anything or hear anything either.
What I can believe is it was a different time, a different era. I can believe that the brass at NBC, they're like, yeah, we know Matt's a horn dog. Big deal, he's a horn dog. So he thinks the intern's cute. So he thinks the reporter's cute. This is just Matt Lauer being Matt.
Well, I think they were fair game for many, many years.
Absolutely.
Interns, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. This says part of the investigation,
we need a woman's voice.
No, but I just want to say part of the investigation, one woman came forward, said Matt placed his hand on her thigh, made a sexually suggestive comment. So what do? They reassign the woman so she didn't have to be near Matt Lauer.
Sure,
yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, when Len was saying how, you know, I really didn't notice anything, I think, you know, we kind of mentioned this, the culture 20, 30 years ago, it could have been going on, but it wouldn't have.
Yeah, it was okay.
It's not even that it was okay. It just wouldn't even been noticed. It wouldn't have been red flagged. You would have walked by it and just thought, everyday business. Like, even a subtle thing. You know, the hand on the shoulder, pat on the back.
Yeah,
that would have gone. Because now, if you see that now.
What?
Well, no, I'd pat him. I'd pat him.
But exactly. It would happen.
I don't dare touch Natalie. She'd clock me. But I used to touch female producers.
I never
touched. But now you would never do it.
I have never touched a female worker.
So the subtle signs that might have been there would have gone unnoticed.
Two more one-liners before we end the end, because I mentioned it in the tease. Don Jr.
Oh, yes.
Apparently,
he's getting divorced.
He's hooking up with Fox host Kimberly Guilfoyle, according to your friend Emily Smith at Page Six.
Emily knows what she's talking about.
And I thought this was an interesting story. Monica Lewinsky was invited to a Town and Country magazine event.
Yes.
Well, then they invited President Clinton to give an award or to introduce, remember, the teen gun control activist Emma Gonzalez from Parkland? So Monica Lewinsky got disinvited from the event.
That is wrong.
That is really bad.
I wish they would have been there together. That would have been fun.
I think she should show up at this event in a blue dress.
Perfect.
Get a nice blue dress.
Come on,
and show up.
I think Monica's above that.
She's above that, and she's trying to fight bullying. She's trying to make something out of her life.
Once
she's
again,
it's going to be a punchline.
She was in that time where it went unnoticed and didn't think it was wrong.
Absolutely. Okay, welcome home. The three Americans detained by North Korea, they are back. Plus, Eric Schneiderman, he steps out for the first time, and he actually smiles at the press, the slime bucket. Can you believe him? And your next chance at $1,000 is coming up after the 8 o'clock news with Joe Bartlett.